Had it not been, when we hear that phrase, "had it not been," sometimes it makes us think about a couple of different things. Number one, when we hear this phrase, we consider something that has happened in the past. You're about to tell me something that's happened in the past. Had it not been. And you're also about to say something that probably involves someone or something saving the day, so to speak. Had it not been. I read this in Psalms 124, if you'll turn there with me, please. Psalms 124. It's believed by most that David wrote this Psalms. We don't absolutely know for sure, but it's believed by many scholars that he did. At the very least, we know that David gathered this book together with the others, this chapter of Psalms. Psalms 124, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who is on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Had it not been for the Lord who is on our side. I believe that this probably comes from an event that happened early on in David's life in 2 Samuel 5:17. I believe he's remembering this event. And we don't know that for sure either, but it sounds like it because he refers to some of the same things. 2 Samuel 5, this is when he was recently crowned king and the Philistines didn't like it and they come to get him and they come to do away with Israel forever. They'd already beaten them once, shattered them, and they were going to come back and destroy the whole nation. As a matter of fact, it sounds like it was very serious. A scholar I read wrote this, this verse. It shows how serious the threat was and how little confidence David placed in his own power to survive it. This expedition of the Philistines was no mere raid to gain territory. It was meant to put an end to David and the hope of Israel. Let's read that in 2 Samuel 5:17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David, and when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. By the way, I want to stop and just stick in a side note for free today, since it's Thanksgiving. Just a side note. David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. And that's where he asked God if he should go up and fight. And I thought, you know what would be beneficial for us? If when we're presented with a battle, we go back to our stronghold and ask God if we should really be in that battle. That was free. Verse 19. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. Oh, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like breakthrough of waters, had it not been for the Lord on our side. When things are bad, when things are good, remember to give God thanks. Because we would be hopelessly lost forever had it not been for God's love and grace. I want to read you another example that I thought was kind of interesting, especially in today's times, for Israel an example of Israel in Isaiah. If you can turn to Isaiah 12 with me. Israel had once again been punished by Syria, and Isaiah prophesies, and he's prophesying about the return of the remnant. He's prophesying about the entry of Jesus into the world, and he writes these words. Isaiah 12. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, Lord. For although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name may be exalted. When things are bad, when things are good, remember to give God thanks, because we would be hopelessly lost forever had it not been for his love and grace. I want to share with you another example. This one is in 1 Thessalonians. Around 50 to 51 AD, I want to give you a backstory because it makes this verse even more alive to us. Paul goes and visits the town of Thessalonica, a huge town. There's a big thoroughfare through there. It was a very big growing city. It was actually named after the, I think it was sister-in-law or stepsister of Alexander the Great. So big, big popular city. Paul goes there around 50 to 51 AD, and he starts witnessing, he starts planting churches, he starts telling people about Jesus, which is, that's a lot of what Paul did. Keith talked about this Wednesday night. Just preach Jesus. That's what Paul did. And Christianity was growing like crazy there. It was growing rapidly. Church were growing rapidly. Now, he'd only been there a short time. Many people think only 3 weeks. We're not sure, but he was there in Thessalonians for a short time. The Jews get really upset, and because they don't like how he's changing things, religion and culture. They're so upset that his colleagues sneak him out of town because they are afraid for his life. So a little bit later, we think possibly in the same year or the next year, Paul writes the churches of Thessalonians. And I want you to realize in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, he says, have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. Okay, so this was everybody. So as we get into this, think about this. He's been run out of Thessalonians. He ran away to a city called Berea, which is about 50 miles away. Shortly there, the same thing happened. The Jews found out that he was there and the church and Christianity was growing, so they ran him out of Berea too. And he had to do it in secrecy because the people were afraid for his life. He writes these words in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I think about the troubles that this guy is facing. I think about the persecution that this guy is going through. And he writes, here's God's will for you. Here's what you should do. You want to know God's will? Here it is. Always pray, always rejoice, and always give thanks. It's real simple. That's all you got to do. It's easy, right? Everybody can do it, right? Who's going to do that this week? Yeah. Okay. All right. Always pray, always rejoice, always give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ. When things are bad, when things are good, remember to give God thanks, because we would all be hopelessly lost had it not been for God's love and grace. I'm going to give you one last example, and this is this, an event in the life of Jesus. It's found in Luke 17, 11 through 19. It's only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. This is where Jesus heals the 10 men of leprosy. Luke 17. While he was on the way, I want you to listen close to these words too. We're going to learn something about being grateful here. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, a lot of times we hear this story, at least when I was growing up, I would hear a story, this story, and it would be like, this is a good story to teach us to be thankful and to be grateful. And it probably is. But that's never really stated in this story. And I got to reading this, and because we didn't hear Jesus say, when the one guy come back, Jesus didn't say, "Okay, this guy I love the most. You should learn to be thankful like this guy is." He didn't say, "Now this one right here, ta-da, the greatest Samaritan that ever lived." He didn't say, "This one is going to continue to be healed. The other 9, they're going to wake up tomorrow with a surprise." He didn't say that. He said, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." The others were well also. I almost got the feeling like, God, we would have gotten a better lesson out of this if the story would have continued like this. And thusly, on the next morning, the other 9 ungrateful lepers woke up one more time, regaining this deadly disease of leprosy. See, they should have been thankful. Only one guy was healed forever. See what you get when you're thankful? But we don't get that. So I begin to look at this. I said, okay, God, Luke recorded this event for some reason. Let's look and see what we can get out of it. And I looked at the likenesses, the things that were the same between the 9 and the 1. And we read that all of them desired to be healed. They were in a group. They were at a distance. They approached Jesus stayed at a distance and said, "Had mercy on us." Jesus healed them. All of them showed a level of obedience and faith because they began to then go to the priest. And then it also says that all of them were cleansed along the way. Those are the things that they did alike. Now I want to look at some of the things that are different. What was different about this guy's behavior? And we read 4 basic things that he did differently in his behavior. Number 1, he turned back. Number 2, glorifying God with a loud voice. Number 3, fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. And number 4, giving thanks to him. Now let's get a little bit of a picture about the life of a leper. When you got this, it was a contagious disease. So when you had leprosy, it would begin by a little white spot on your body. you had to go and show the priest. This is Jewish culture. You had to go and show the priest. But in any culture, if you had leprosy, you were kicked out of society. You couldn't hang out with society. You couldn't be in the town. In the Jewish culture, you couldn't be in the camp. You had to live in life completely outside of camp. So a lot of the lepers would actually gather together and live, and they would congregate amongst themselves. If they did encounter a group of people, they had to walk through yelling, "Unclean! Unclean!" Because it was very contagious. I've read that they had to be 100 paces away from civilization. It was unlikely that any of them were ever just got well on their own. It was usually some type of healing that they experienced, spiritual, supernatural healing. When they did get healed, these guys, one of the first things you did, if you were healed or somehow gotten well of leprosy, you had to go to the priest. The priest would inspect you, and it was individually. Like, the priest couldn't just line them all up and look at them. It was a secretive thing. You got inspected, and he made sure that there were no spots on your body whatsoever. Then, if he declared you cleansed or healed, then the leper was then obligated to pay a price and an offering to the church. After that, they were then able to go to out into society like normal. They didn't have to stay away from anybody. They were totally cleansed. But they had to get the okay from the priest first. Okay? So, now that we know a little bit about that life, I want you to imagine these lepers. They've been away from civilization. They've been away from the town, from their friends, from their family, for who knows how long. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest as if they are already healed. From obedience and faith, they begin to go, and they were all cleansed on the way. But one guy put his physical confirmation on hold, which shows that he had nothing to prove to anyone until he first gave God glory. The other nine were still being obedient, but they could have been obedient with thankfulness, and it would have changed their lives. This one guy, he put his acceptance back into society, his re-entrance to his family, he put that on hold to go and give God glory. And that shows his priorities. So I want to look, we looked at the differences of his behavior. What was the difference resulting from his behavior? What happened to him because he behaved differently than the other nine? And basically it's pretty short. Jesus talked to him and said, stand up and go, your faith has made you well. And then God began to reveal to me a few differences between the nine and the one just from this one sentence. Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. See, they all displayed a level of faith in obedience to God, but Jesus mentions this one. This man's faith as if it were somehow different. His thankfulness, it seems, brought about a faith that brought more power to the table. You see, it very well could be that the nine guys, if ever in their life, in their future, they need a healing, they need a miracle, they need the supernatural, they're going to first think, I need to go find Jesus physically. But this one guy, Jesus says his faith made him whole. This one guy now possesses a power within him. when he needs a miracle or the supernatural in his future, he has that because Jesus imparted a part of himself into him. I believe he said, your faith has made you whole. You see, Jesus is beginning to teach, even early in his life, he's beginning to teach the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. This is kingdom thinking right here, see. Like Jesus, when he told the disciples, he said, listen, boys, it's going to be best if I go away because I'm going to send you a comforter. He's going to live on the inside of you, and you're going to do greater things than I do. You are. See, we all need Jesus, but we have Jesus on the inside of us. So now we are able to operate in the kingdom, in the supernatural, just like Jesus did. Kingdom thinking. Thankfulness, I believe, thankfulness turned a miraculous healing of Jesus into an act of empowering and sustaining faith and salvation. Now, Paul links this also a couple of times, faith and thanksgiving. In Colossians 2:7, he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in Jesus, established in faith, abound in thanksgiving. Also in Philippians 4:6, we've all probably heard this scripture. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Is it possible that thanksgiving has a direct relation to my faith? Let's look at it a little bit more. The second thing that I thought was very different about what Jesus said to him, a resulting difference. Your faith has made you well. The New American Standard Bible says, King James Version says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the Greek Interlinear Bible takes straight the Greek words and switches it to English. They say, thy faith hath saved you. And they use a word there, a Greek word, sozo. So in verse 15, when the lepers were on their way to the priest, verse 15 says, and as they were going, they were cleansed. The Greek word there is katharizo. And it means to cleanse. Surprise. Tricky, aren't they? It means to cleanse or to make clean. But the word was different when Jesus said it back to the one. In verse 19, your faith has made you well. The word is sozo. Sozo means to save, deliver, protect, heal, and preserve. You see the difference and the depth and the magnitude of what happened to the guy that came to give thanks and glory to God at the feet of Jesus, as opposed to those that were just simply obedient and went on with life. Look at the difference and the magnitude of it. Do you realize that these guys received a miracle from God from a distance, but this one guy received salvation from God at the feet of Jesus? Thankfulness turned a miraculous healing of Jesus into an act of empowering and sustaining faith and salvation. I believe one of the things that we can learn from this event is that we have the ability to be an agent of the supernatural. You do. And it could begin with your act of thankfulness, with your act of being very bold and loud with your thanksgiving and your glory to God. there's a third difference that I thought was interesting about the resulting differences of his behavior, and it was this. In verse 18, Jesus says, "Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Was no one found? You see, like I said, when the others went to the priest, I'm sure that they didn't try to take the credit for themselves. I don't know this for sure, but it would seem unreasonable that they would, all nine of them, "Yeah, I healed myself. I became supernatural like that." I doubt if that's the case. I think what they did is they said, "Yes, Jesus is in town, as you know, and he healed me." So they give God credit, right? But I know that it was done in private, because you had to privately inspect lepers to make sure that they were clean. But this man was found. As a matter of fact, he was loud, vocal, and physical in his giving thanks to Jesus and glorifying God. So I believe if we are truly to learn something from this historical event, we should learn this. Be found. Be loud. Be very vocal and very physical about giving God glory and about being thankful. Can I have an amen? All right. It very well may be that thankfulness will turn your miracle into a sustaining source of power and salvation. Your gratefulness may be something that turns that miracle in your life into something that's everlasting, something that will maintain and sustain you for years to come. When things are bad, when things are good, remember to give God thanks, because we would all be hopelessly lost forever had it not been for God's love and grace. Amen. I have a special treat for you, and I'm going to ask Brother Keith and Sister Anita and Sister Barbara. I really did go old school today, didn't I? Calling everybody brother and sister? Is that? But I've got a special treat for you. I asked them to sing a song, and it's a great song, and I think it's entitled "Had It Not Been." But as they're getting ready, I want us all to stand, and I want to do something else that we haven't done in quite a while. I'm going to read the first line of a scripture, and you as a church congregation are going to repeat the second line. You're going to say the second line with me. Your line is, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." This is found in Psalms 136. David is writing this song, and he has this, and the audience comes back with, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." We're going to say a few of David's lines, and then we're going to say a few that I have created on my own. Psalms 136, if you want. Starting with verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." "Give thanks to the God of gods." "Give thanks to the Lord of lords." "To him who alone does great wonders." "To him who sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins."
"For his loving kindness is everlasting."
"To him who loved us even when we were sinners."
"For his loving kindness is everlasting."
"To him who is wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities."
"For his loving kindness is everlasting."
"To him who was raised from the dead." "And chose to adopt us as his own."
"For his loving kindness is everlasting."
"And completely wiped away our past sins."
"For his loving kindness is everlasting."
"To him who offers eternal life."
"For his loving kindness is everlasting."
to him who placed his spirit on the inside of us.
For his loving kindness.
In verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Please remain standing as we listen to this song and take in the words and remember and give thanks to God had it not been.
Just suppose God searched all through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you. From me, and I'm so glad he never called heaven's angels. From these hands, pull the nails that tormented me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary.